Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're so glad you're here this morning as we go into the teaching about in our summer of spiritual growth. We're going to talk about the power of God's word in your life, how to actually delve into God's word for yourself. But dads, we're so glad you're here. We welcome you. We're so thankful for our dads and those that are watching live stream. Thank you as well for coming via the internet. We're glad to have you. And God has great things ahead for us. Now, I love Father's Day because there are 2 days of the year that I get what I call unlimited scudge. Now, you might not know what that is. The term I made up with my daughters where I grab their faces and I hug them and I kiss them and I squeeze them to where they make this face that when they see me coming, it literally their face does this because they know it's going to be painful for them. But I don't care. It's one of the joys of fatherhood. So, but on my birthday and on Father's Day, I get what I call unlimited scudge. So this is a great day for me. It started after midnight. I was up. My kids went to, no, really, it was, I was up waiting. They all went to 19 North. If you have young adults, go to 19 North on Saturday nights. The service starts at 8:30, and then they all went out. I think they were at Eaton Park, got home after 12:30, and they all came in. And my daughters, realizing it was after midnight, said, "Happy Father's Day." And then they looked at me and they realized they opened the door. And I said, "Yes, it is Father's Day. Thank you." And they saw me coming, and literally they did this. And so they realized that today is unlimited scudge day. So happy Father's Day to you. I just pray that you have a great time with your family. And for those of you that this day may be a little difficult, I pray God helps you and comforts you. I want to talk to you today about the power of the Word of God in your life. Something interesting happened last night when Pastor Steve was coming out to speak, and as he did this morning. Right when he began to speak, I was standing back there praying, and before these words came out of his mouth, they came out of mine. And I was just asking God, what is it that you really want to do for people's hearts today? And I heard these words come up in my heart, and I actually said them. That God wants to bring great encouragement to people. I said the word encouragement, then he literally a second later said, and I feel like God wants to encourage people today. When you come to church sometimes, particularly for men, you don't feel encouraged. It feels like a list to do. That's not what today's about. In actuality, walking with God's not about that. But I want to talk to you about a living God that walks with us in everyday life. Now, in Father's Day, of course, my hope is that we can make the service a little shorter for you today, because men love to get out of church early. No, as we feel, how many of you men, if you get out of here early, you feel like a bonus? Come on, I mean, really. And if you can beat other people out of the parking lot, Jesus just showed up in your life. It's just true. It's a man thing, right? I didn't get the whole story, but when I was coming out to sit during worship, there was this young lady came over to share with Michelle, and I didn't get the whole story, but her husband is a Navy SEAL. And a while back, we were teaching about Jesus the healer. And they came to that service, and he had broken his ankle, I'm assuming, in serving our country. And he was concerned that every time he would run, the pain. And after that healing service, he's now running pain-free. And he's walked, and just God's done a great work in his life. And I don't know where she's sitting, and I don't know if it's appropriate if your husband's a Navy SEAL, you can even tell people that publicly, so I won't ask her to identify herself. But thank you so much for serving our country as his wife, and we thank God for your husband, that God's using him greatly. Amen. We pray protection over all of the young men and women that are serving in our military as they do what the scripture calls in Romans, executing justice and judgment in the name of God. Y'all know the military's in the Bible? Do you know the policemen and women are in the Bible? Do you know it's in the Bible to shoot people that hate other people and do evil? Do you know that the Bible said God puts those people in place? God puts those people in place as executors of his judgment, as ministers. They're called ministers in the Bible. So, you know, a lot of the nonsense you hear today isn't in the Bible. Now, you say, the Bible said for those, but if you do well, don't be afraid of those people. But if you do evil, they're coming to get you. And they're coming by the grace of God. So you have every right to pray protection. Because how many of you think it's right to pray protection on a minister? And that's exactly what they are. They are ministers of God working on your behalf and my behalf. So we thank God for you. But I want to talk to you tonight, just this morning a little bit, about the power of God's word in your life. How when God's word finds a consistent place in your life, and I'm going to talk to you about what that means. It's the place where you find spiritual growth. It's the place where you'll find direction. It's actually the place where you're going to find freedom that you'll find in no other way. First Peter says these words about the word of God in our life. First Peter 2:2 said, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word of God that you might grow thereby. You have to cultivate a desire in your heart as a believer for God's word. And it's the power of God's word in your life that will cause you to grow. There's a reason why a lot of men don't walk with God closely, because they feel like they can't. Because they think they have to have some power innately within them that's going to put them over in their spiritual life. And none of you have that, men or women alike. The power of the word of God in your life and in my life will cause you to grow. And here's what you need to understand about most of the problems in my life and your life. They're problems that you'll grow out of. Some problems you can't, God show up and they'll go away. Can I tell you that most of the problems in our life that are real deep seated in our souls are problems you'll grow out of if you grow spiritually. You'll grow beyond it. Do you know you can grow beyond your past? You can grow beyond the way you were raised or the way you weren't raised. Anybody here have some stuff in their life because they're family of origin? Anybody? Anybody have your family tree is full of nuts and fruits? So I don't have anybody in my family tree like that. Well, then you're likely the one. It's all right. God loves you too. But a lot of things in your life, I know, as you know, kids sometimes when they're little, doctors will say, well, you know, I understand it's unpleasant, but they'll grow out of this. I know when I was going out of 10th grade my 10th grade year, I remember going into the football and they would weigh you and measure you. And I was all of 5'2". And my oldest brother, who is somewhat demon possessed, said to me, I think you're going to turn into a girl. Which, you know, of course made me feel wonderful about my life. And today today he would probably celebrate that. And we live in a mixed up world. But that summer, as that went through, I grew 6 inches. Now you have to understand, 5'2", even for an Italian, short. But I'm about 5'10 and a half, well, I used to be. I think I've shrunk a little, but I won't measure myself. I'm going to pretend I'm still 5'10 and a half. But you have to understand, in Italy, I'd be a giant. I'd be a tall man in Italy. Just so you know, we Italian men don't always typically grow real tall. But man, I grew. I mean, you know, when I grew, I was in so much pain. My mom brought me to the doctor. My knees were hurting. My knees would give out. And he said, he's just growing. And all these things that were happening in his body, he'll grow out of this. He'll be fine. Some of your problems have to be grown out of. The power of the word of God in your life will cause you to grow. You won't cause yourself to grow. And he said, in fact, he related it to a baby getting milk from their mother. The power inherent within that milk sustains that child and grows that child. I know you've seen little ones born and then you see them in 3 weeks and they grow so quickly. The word of God is the nourishment that will cause you to grow in your life. However, we live in a world that is information driven. So when you talk about studying the Bible or getting the scriptures in your life, you may think in terms of information. And that's how a lot of people think about it. Well, I need to get information. The Bible is not about information. The Bible is about transformation. And there's a huge difference. We live in a world where people think they're smart because they can Google stuff. We live in a world where the culture is so focused on what we think we know, we're actually imploding on ourselves. Our pride is so overwhelming in our culture, we're actually collapsing on ourselves and we don't even know it's happening. The scripture that you want to learn in your life is not just some theological or some just mental or cerebral issue. The Word of God is not meant to be informational in your life. Primarily, it is information that is meant to bring transformation. Years ago, and I wouldn't say this if the person still went to church here, but this was many years ago. I used to have a man come up to me after every service with his wife, and I could tell she had been beaten down in their relationship. It was very domineering. And every week he'd come up to me and he'd have some obscure Bible question. And it was trying to show how much he knew about the Bible. And it would be the most obscure question, and his wife would kind of stand there. She'd never look up. He'd do it week after week. And I'd give him the same answer every week. He'd give me his big question and he'd say, "Now, what do you think about that?" And I'd answer him every week. I said, "Well, I never do. I never think about it." He said, "Will you give it some thought?" I said, nope, not concerned about that. No, I really, really not going to give that any thought or attention. And I'm thinking, you know, he's going to get the hint. He'd come back week after week. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. After the third or fifth or 10th, it was like probably, I mean, I'm talking probably 15, 16 times. He finally comes back and he's some question about the horse in Revelation's molar in his mouth, something. I said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Do you know this woman standing beside you has had her heart broken? Do you know that in her soul she's broken? Do you know that you are responsible to help lift her up and meet that need in her heart?" He didn't hear me. He went into some other obscure thing. As I was saying that, she's crying. So I stopped him, and now I'm a little ticked. Spirit of tick ever get on you? And I said, "Sir," I said, "please don't be offended at this." I said, "But I couldn't care less about your stupid questions. Do you see this woman that you're married to is crying? Here's what you want to read your Bible for. Fix that. Stop asking me these ridiculous questions until she's well, until you've helped her get out of this depth of sorrow." I didn't want to say it. The sorrow is because she married you. But that's how some people look at the Bible. It's some trivial pursuit. It is transformational. Let me read to you what the Bible says about the Bible. Isn't it amazing? The Bible actually says something about itself. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a pastor, in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, and he said these words: "Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. And through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us." I want to walk you through this scripture this morning. And the first thing he said that God's word is, it's inspired by God. The words that you read in this book, God inspired people to write. And the scripture said they were not just now the words of men, they became the very words of God. This is an amazing book. I don't have time to talk to you about the validity of Scripture, but I can tell you that all the smart people in the world have spent hours of their life trying to throw this book away and debunk it, and they've never been remotely successful because it is a supernatural book. And yet, the Bible said it's inspired by God. This is God's word to you, God's word to me. But before you can ever have the Word of God have an impact in your life, it's got to have a place in your life. Now, we've been talking about having a devotional life. How many of you have heard me talk about having the devotional life? Raise your hand, wave at me. How many of you have heard me say, set an appointment with God? Raise your hand, wave at me. How many of you are setting an appointment with God? How many of you are at least thinking about it? All right. That's where you start. So before we get into the guts of this, let's make sure it's practical, because everything I say to you is irrelevant if the Word of God isn't finding an entrance part in your life, if you aren't putting the Word in your life. So how do you have a devotional life? Remember, five simple things. Set an appointment with God. Say it out loud. Set an appointment with God. Set an appointment with God. Look, you set appointments with people you don't even like. Set an appointment with God. Don't set the same day, same time every day for the next 50 years. Don't do that. unless you have that kind of lifestyle. But set it the day before and look at your calendar and say, God, this is my 30 minutes that I'm going to devote to time with you. And then keep the appointment and be faithful. Set an appointment with God. Then get into that quiet place. Put on some worship music and sing from your heart and worship God. Boy, I'll tell you, this morning when Sean led us in worship, when he was reading from the scripture, wasn't that powerful? Incredible. That you're talking not about singing, you're talking about worshiping and singing to the God of the universe who loves you and wants to speak to you. Then once you worship for 4 or 5 minutes, then you want to pray and begin to empty your heart to God and your soul to God and begin to share with him out of the innermost depths of your being. And you talk about what's burdening you and you trust him and you pray and you receive. And after you do that, then you read your Bible. Pastor John, I don't know how. Where do you start? You start on the inside. You've got to open it. But practically, I don't know where to begin. Find the book of Proverbs. There are 31 Proverbs. Read one every day. That's one thing you can do. Read the book of Psalms. You're going to find all the emotions that we experience as human beings described in the book of Psalms. Go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read all the red letters. Those are the words of Jesus. You can do that for a period of time. Read the epistles, that is the letters written to the church. That's where I would really want you to center the most of your time. Read in a translation that makes sense to you. Now, you don't want to study the Bible in a very serious way using something like the Message because it's not exact to the original language, but it is a phenomenal paraphrase. The Message Bible is a great Bible to use in your devotional time. After you read the scripture, then just sit there for a little while and be quiet. And then whatever thoughts or impressions come in your heart or in your mind, write them down or type them out. And do that every day, 30 minutes. If you'll do that, you will begin to have an entrance place for the Word of God in your heart. Here's another practical way you can put the Word in your heart. How many of you have to take a shower or bathe every day? Okay, how many of you should? If you have a smartphone, anyone have a smartphone? Okay, use it smartly. Download podcasts. Pastor John, I don't know how to do that. Find a 12-year-old. How many of you have at least maybe some drive time and you're by yourself? Then don't waste time listening to some stupid guy making you angry on the radio. Well, I tell you, I agree with him. And you two are arguing in the car with nobody. It's really simple. You open your phone, you hit podcast. You hit the speaker you want to listen to. This morning, I was listening to a man that's now in heaven, a guy named Charles Capps. I don't get ready where I don't listen to somebody talk to me. I just hit play. I have a wireless speaker in my bathroom, and it goes very loud, and I can hear it while I'm even in the shower. If I can do it, any human being can do it. I am technologically challenged. But you have hours of your life that you can be invested in putting the Word of God in your heart. So what podcast would you recommend? I want to be specific. Go and look up Church of the Highlands, Chris Hodges. Look up Gateway Church, Robert Morris. You can download stuff from Keith Moore, and you have to live till 3 millennia to listen to everything Keith Moore has for you. More Life Ministries, Keith Moore. On and on and on. Church on the Move, Pastor Willie George. A leadership podcast by Gerald Brooks and Craig Groeschel. And just, there's so many things you can be filling your heart with. But if you don't put the Word in you, everything I say today will not work for you. So make some decisions to be a person disciplined to put the Word of God in your heart. The first thing the scripture said it would do is bring you instruction. Now, how many of you are familiar with the Minnesota Vikings? Anybody know the football team? I used to be a Vikings fan in the early 70s as a little kid because the Steelers stunk back then. My older brother liked them, so I just liked them because he did. And they had a defensive lineman named Jim Marshall. And they had a tremendous defense, the Purple People Eaters. Anybody remember that? Anybody old enough to remember that? How many of you have never heard of the Purple People Eaters? Anyway. Jim Marshall, a great defensive lineman, tremendous career, but he's known for being wrong way Marshall. There was a defensive play. They hit the guy, fumbled. Marshall picks up the ball and he runs the wrong way. And he runs to the end zone, throws the ball out of the end zone, and the other team gets 2 points. And you know what I noticed? Nobody on the defense tried to stop him. When he was running to their gain, nobody tried to tackle him or stop him. The only people trying to chase him were his own players. Stop! Stop! They're screaming, and he's having the time of his life. Can I tell you, there's an enemy that has no intent of stopping you when you're running the wrong way. One of the things God's word will do is instruct you. Say, hey, sweetheart, you're running the wrong way. It may feel like a touchdown right now, but let me tell you, at the end, it's going to penalize you. You're going to hurt for this. And in fact, that's what God's people should be in our lives, encouraging us to walk with God, to go on with God. That's what church should be. Not a time to get beat up, but a time to get lifted up and built up. Instruction. Psalms 119, 105 says this, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, God's word is a lamp or a light or a flashlight to your dark path. If there's anything that we could agree on, I think unequivocally in this room, this world is dark. The culture is ever darkening. We live in a culture where good and evil have been confused. Up is down, down is up. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Everything is upended. There are no absolutes any longer. And we've done that in the name of enlightenment. And the scripture said, but when you put the word of God in your life, it will become a light to your dark path. It is God, listen, the God who loves you, instructing you. The God who loves you, giving direction for your life. The second thing he said it will do is convict you or bring conviction of sin. You can find out what is good and bad, what is right and wrong, what is good and evil in the Bible. Yeah, but Pastor John, the culture doesn't always agree with that. Everybody who believes what the culture believes will be graveyard dead in the next 100 years. And they will stand before a living God. And all of the babble of a culture and all of the people, well, Pastor, let me tell you this, you're on the wrong side of history. Well, sweetheart, you're on the wrong side of eternity. There's a big difference. History is where we've been. Eternity is where you're going. And I promise you, the most arrogant, pride-filled person will stand before God on the day of judgment, and there will not be an ounce of pride in their heart. They will fall before a living God. The scripture said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now is the time to bow your knee to his stewardship and worship, stewardship and influence in your life, and to worship him. God's word is God's word. One of the most asinine statements I've ever heard in my life is this, and it's so prevalent in our culture. This is my truth. That is utter stupidity. My truth. There is no such thing as my truth and your truth. Truth is solid. It is immovable. It's like you saying, this is my sunrise. When's yours? Sunrise today was at 6:02. Not mine. It was 8:05. That's my truth. Your truth doesn't make the sunrise at a different time. The scripture says, God's word will bring to you the conviction of sin. You'll know right from wrong, because at the end of sin's path, James said it this way, sin, when it's run its course, will kill you. Sin isn't God trying to keep you from doing what you like. Sin is designed by the enemy of your soul to kill you. Anything where sin runs its course, it whatever it touches, it will kill. And God's saying in his word, when I speak to you, I want to show you the things that are trying to harm you. But religion makes it about rules. And you hear God making, well, I don't want to do that. God wants to take my fun away. How many of you have kids? How many of you, your heart is so desperate to put information and revelation and truth into your kids' hearts because you don't want them to suffer in life? How many of you are desperate so that your kids don't fall in the same ditches you fell into? And sometimes your kids won't listen. Are you telling them because you want to control them? Are you telling them because you want them to be limited and fun? Are you telling them because you are so desperate that they can have a good life? That's how your Heavenly Father is. Listen to what the scripture says. You're going to have to make a decision as a believer. Will this word be your final authority? Because there is a world around you that is speaking contrary to this all the time. And you're going to have to make a decision as a believer. Now remember that I'm not speaking against any people. Listen, anybody in the dark, the only difference between them and me is Jesus. I am not better than anybody. If there's any good in my life, it's because of the mercy of God. Amen. That's it. So please, this isn't on us and them. It's just the opposite. It is absolutely the opposite. But it is a decision as a believer that this book, his word, his immutable, unchangeable word. The scripture said there's not even so much as a shadow of turning in God, much less a turning, becomes my final authority. Listen to what Jesus said about the influence of the world and the influence of his word in the heart of a believer. In John 17, verse 14, Jesus is actually praying to his heavenly Father. He said, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Do you understand, as a child of God, you are in the world, but not of it? This world should not be what you let define you. That's why Romans said, do not be conformed to the image of this world. Do not let the world squeeze you into its own mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, I've given them as your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, Father, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify or set them apart from what? From the world and its system by your truth. Your word is truth. God in flesh, Jesus said, here's truth, what God said. Everything else is babble that will fall apart. Everything else will pass away when the person who spoke it passes away. Yeah, but he's very smart. She has a great degree. She's been highly educated. What type of arrogant human being looks at this universe? I don't care if you believe there's a God or that you don't. And says anything that you've discovered is definitive. It's utter arrogance. Today, scientists have released that 14.2 billion years ago, this happened. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? Why not 14.3 billion? Where'd that number come from? Somebody in a room who gets up and eats and goes to the bathroom and to the toilet and takes a shower and has to get sleepy. And he argues with their spouse, made up a number. And I'm going to make that concrete in my life? Now, you might be right, you might be wrong, but you're a human being. Why would I ever let the word of men govern my eternity and my present tense when the God of the universe said, I want to speak into your life, John. Every word I speak to you is for instruction. It's going to show you right from wrong. It's going to set you apart. He goes on to say, as you sent me into the world, I send them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified, set apart. Listen, set apart by the truth. The only thing that's going to set you apart from this dark and ever darkening world is the word of God. Amen. Not your desire, not your commitment to God, not God, I promise I'll never, and you'll lie. It's the power of the word imparted into your heart. The engrafted word, the Bible said, which is able to save your soul. Next week, we're going to go into greater depth on how this actually works. But when you put the word in your heart, the word of God has inherent within it sufficient power to bring to pass what it promises. The power is in the word. So when I put the word in my heart, I'm receiving the ability and the grace for that word to be fulfilled. It's not me. Well, I'm going to be a stronger Christian than you. There are no stronger Christians than other people. There are people that have been empowered by God and those that have not. There have been people who have yielded to God's word and its power and those that have not. And his word will take you places you never dreamed possible. It will set you apart. It will cause you to live in a very darkened world and not let the dark dominate the steps you take. He said, I will take your dark path and I will make it light. And I'll cause you to make great choices and great decisions in an ever darkening world. And one of those decisions is to realize the people in the dark are not our enemy. They are the object of our love and affection, because they are the object of his love and affection, just like I am and you are and we were before we came to Christ. This culture is not my enemy as a Christian. It is my objective. It is what I'm giving my life for, so that the light of Jesus can come into their world, because you cannot rehab. You cannot rehab darkness. You can't legislate darkness. There's only one way to deal with darkness: bring light. And if people reject the light, that's between them and God. But it's not my job to condemn people in the dark. It's my job to bring the light of a God that loves you, that's for you, that cares for you, that is overwhelmingly in love with you. And he said, I want to make you free. In fact, Jesus went on to say, the truth will make you free. The truth of God's word, not you, not me, but the truth will make you free. Let me put three of them together, because I want to get through this morning with you. He said, God's word will bring correction of error in your life. Anybody imperfect here? Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you then are brutal liars? Raise your hand. Okay, anybody imperfect? Sure you are. He said it will bring correction of error, discipline in obedience, and training in righteousness. Proverbs 14:12 says it this way: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You can live a seems right life as a Christian, or you can take God at his word and let God's word be the final authority in your life. I've got to let God's word be the final authority in the kind of man I am, the kind of husband I am, the kind of father I am, the kind of pastor I am, the kind of friend I am, the kind of employer I am. Do you know God's word will actually tell you how to be an employer, how to be an employee? You know what God will tell? God's word will teach you how to keep your attitude right in difficult situations. Anybody work a job with difficult situations? Anybody work with difficult people? So I don't work with anybody difficult. Remember then, you might be the one. But the reality of it is, he said, there's a way that seems right, but those ways lead to death. Jesus said this way in John 15, verse 1. He said, I am the true vine. Everybody say true vine. That means there are other sources trying to give you life. And Jesus said, I'm the only one that really cares about you. I'm the only one that died on a cross for you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Why? So that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean or pruned because of my word, which I've spoken to you. Now you abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Can you do what? Bear fruit. Except you abide in me. Abiding in Jesus is abiding in his word. Jesus is the word made flesh. And he said, Father, I know how desperate you are for these to bear fruit. And he went on to say, he said, and whatsoever you would ask in my name, he said, the Father will give it to you. He said, and herein, and you asking and receiving, will my Father be glorified as you bear much fruit. Do you know that the Bible calls answered prayer fruit that you should bear? Do you realize that living in the word of God, Jesus said, will cause you to be able to ask from God, receive from God, and glorify God. And in doing so, he said, you'll bear much fruit. He said as well, when you're bearing fruit, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prune you back. I'm going to cut things out of your life. Now, here's what the religious, well, God's going to prune you back. He's going to break your leg or do this to you or some evil thing. No, Jesus said, here's how I prune you: through my words. And if you'll receive my word, I'll prune you back. And you may not like the pruning at the moment, but it's going to cause you to be more fruitful. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here, is that the correction in our life, the discipline and obedience, the training in righteousness, is letting the word of God find a place. And remember, if you go get grapes off of a vine, they don't get any power within themselves. They have to draw it from the root. You're never going to bear fruit independently of God's working in your life and God's word in your life. It is the power source. And the enemy's, I'm telling you, and next week we'll get into this in depth. The modus operandi of the enemy is to get the word of God out of your heart. Because when the word of God is out of your heart, the source of power is gone in your life. And you become a person driven by what you feel, by what you see, by what you think, by what others think, whatever babble is on the news. Look, 20 years ago, we only had to put up with news at 6 and 11. Now you have 24 hours, 7 days a week, news companies that their entire motivation is to get you to watch. Boom, breaking news. Every program starts with, scoom, breaking news. I remember when that first started, I would be like, oh, what's happening? A cat is in a tree in California, and the firemen are there. Breaking news. That's not breaking news. But they're trying to sell peanut butter. They're trying to sell deodorant. Depends underwear. That's what news is about today. Somebody's making a buck and they want to keep you engaged. And some person will, you know how long it takes to keep people on the air babbling for 24 hours? Good Lord, that's crazy. If you let that fill your heart and you don't see what God says, you say, well, I agree with what my news program says. Well, the other people watch their news program. I mean, look, if you want to watch something that you want to see people use the news to watch, MSNBC. You'll see crazy on steroids. You really will. You want to watch people that are so angry and so bitter? Watch Fox. They're angry. I'm right. I'm dead right. You're still dead. Doesn't matter if you're right or you're wrong. Are you connected to the one who gives life? Because without the life giver, all of your opinions are just words in the air. It's Charlie Brown speak when the parents talk to the kids. Wah, 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 wah. It does nothing for anyone. But his word will set you free. It will take you places you never dreamed possible. But you've got to put it in your life. So how many of you think it's a good thing to have a daily devotional? Let me try that again. How many think it's a very good thing to have a daily devotional? You can do this. You can do this. Make it a part of your life. And go back and read what you wrote. It'll change your life. How many of you can, okay, so I don't have a podcast. Can you put a CD in? I mean, come on, we can go back a couple centuries. How many of you know how to work a CD player? Thank you, Jesus. We still burn CDs for people. You can go back and get you a CD today from today's service. Say, Pastor John, a CD? You can go to young people today. I think if you're 9 years old, they don't know what they think a CD is something that you deposit in the bank. They wouldn't have the first clue. No, we don't have cassette tapes for you anymore. How many of you remember the days of cassette tapes? And let me, before we go to our last point, let me say this to you. Steve and I had a conversation months ago, Steve Moore and I. And we were talking about how to see people growing spiritually. And I actually had this conversation with Michelle and my mom just the other day. Steve asked me this question. He said, Nuzo, how did you grow spiritually? Was it in church by hearing messages? Is that really what grew you spiritually? I said, well, you know, it helped. Because we used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every week. And the only time you miss is when you're on vacation. Where the average person now goes to church about 1.5 times a month. If you aggregate everybody's attendance habits. So they're hearing God's word once a month or twice a month. Well, I used to hear it three times a week. So I would get more quote, word in me through church in a week than most people would get in a month. And in a month, I'd get more than most people got in a year. So I made a decision that I was going to put God's word first place in my life. So when God's word was being ministered in my church, I was there. It became a priority in my life. Is it a priority in yours? God can't make that choice for you. You have to make it. He said, but let's assume you went to church three times a week. Is that how you grew spiritually? I thought about it and I said, well, not really. Because he said, Nuzo, how many tapes have you listened to? I said, thousands and thousands. How many messages have you listened to? Thousands and thousands. How many books have you read? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. How much time have you read the Bible on your own outside of church? I said, I can't remember. He said, so it was your daily habits of reading God's word, listening to God's word spoken, and going to church. That's how you grew spiritually. Then he asked this question. He said, now, Nuzo, you're a pastor and you traveled speaking in churches. How often did you get to go to church for you? I said, well, not very often. I usually was in church speaking to other people. He said, so in essence, you've never really got to even sit in church and listen to someone preach with any consistency your entire Christian life. Is that true? I said, yeah, that's true. He said, then how did you grow spiritually? I said, it was my daily lifestyle. If you're not going to put God's word in your life on a daily basis, listen to me, you are not going to grow spiritually. It's that simple. And if you're not going to grow spiritually, the last point of what God's word says it will do for your life will not happen, no matter how much God loves you. And it's this last point. He said that putting God's word in your life will equip you to fulfill God's purpose. Do you understand you were made for something great? You were not made just to get through your next problem. You were not made to live in this discouragement that carries around you in this cloud where you walk around constantly and everywhere you go, the cloud goes with you. Because life can be brutal. He said, my word in your life will equip you to fulfill my purpose. And that's what he said in verse 17 of Timothy 3. He said, 2 Timothy 3, through the word of God, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us. God wants to do something amazing in your life. When people ask me about the journey that Michelle and I have made in our life, And where we started to where we are today, and how we've seen the faithfulness of God. And this isn't offensive to me, but it when I say offensive, I mean I just because I know the truth. It makes me so uncomfortable when anybody in any way seems to attribute something to us as people, because I know us as people. But here's what I do know. As young kids who got married. And yesterday we celebrated our 28th anniversary. So it's been 28 years of a lot of mountains and a lot of valleys. But in these 28 years, we made a simple commitment that we were not going to be wise in our own eyes. We were going to trust what the Word of God said. And we were going to do it to the best of our capacity. And the power inherent within the Word of God took two kids that have no business being where they're at in life and kept making a way when there was none. And that was our path, ministry. Your path is going to be somewhat different, obviously. But I don't care where you start from and what deficits you started with, the God you serve is greater than anything behind you. And if you'll put the word of God in your heart, if you'll put the word of God in your heart, it will take you places you never, it will equip you for things you never dreamed possible, because there are dreams sitting on the inside of every person in this room, every man in this room, every woman in this room that are just sitting dormant. And the word of God will merge together with that purpose of God, and the power of God will bring it to pass. And he'll take you places and bring things into your life you never dreamed possible. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to pray encouragement over your life. Because don't leave this place just hearing a message. Pastor John, what's my takeaway? Do a daily devotional. Listen to the Word of God. Get podcasts. Read some books. Read your Bible. Do this every day of your life. Let God's Word, as the Scripture said, dwell in you richly. It will change your life. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every man and woman in this church. I pray that you would encourage their hearts. Lord, I know just from my heart and in prayer that there are so many people in this room that are so discouraged, so discouraged. They just seem like there's no way out. They don't know how to make the next steps. Lord, help us to understand the next steps are found in your word and the power that comes from it and the encouragement that comes from it. There's nothing impossible with you. So I pray, Father God, as we simply act in concert with your written word, that we will experience life and life in abundance. And I speak that favor over your people in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, If you were to draw your final breath right now and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I want to pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will actually pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. If you're watching online and you've never given your life to Christ, you can do so right now. I didn't ask you if you're a good person. I hope you are. I didn't ask you if you were a church member. That's fine. Well, I've been baptized as a baby. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. That doesn't make you a Christian. Nothing wrong with it, but it didn't make you a Christian. No church and no church sacrament can make you right with God. None. Including this church. There's only one thing that can give you eternal life, and that's receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, include me in a prayer, please. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Please include me in that prayer. I want to invite the Lord into my life. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church, in fact, will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So if you'd say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to know that I'm heaven bound, not hell bound. Because Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And he is the only way, truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Right where you're seated, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated, I'll do so. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lift your hand right now and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and we'll pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you've not yet raised your hand, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. Thank you. One last moment. You've not yet raised your hand. Sir, listen to me on this Father's Day. Don't leave this place, you being the Lord of your life. Your whole family's lives hinge on your leadership. Go after God with all your heart. Don't run from him. He loves you. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it doesn't lead to life. It leads to death. One last moment. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, include me, please, in that prayer. Lift it high where I can see it, and I'll include you in that prayer. One last moment. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. I pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.